shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
You're smoking crack!
Alrighty, let's go. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. Big show lined up for you today. We got the best of the best coming on. And of course, it's all leading up to the road to the World Juniors presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Make Lord Co. your go-to auto parts store. Since 1974, Lord Co. has been a trusted supplier of quality aftermarket auto parts and accessories. Shop owners, automotive professionals, and do-it-yourself vehicle owners know it's the place to go for fast and knowledgeable service. Check out its new location on Calgary Trail Northwest. And don't forget to stroll through its in-store truck centers for the latest truck accessories and high-performance parts. The doors are open 7 days a week. E-store hours and services at lordco.com. It's Cody Jansen with you, coming to you live from the ProRock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31, underscoring the show at WorldHockeyRPT. So we broke the news last night. We will dive into a little bit of NHL talk as well. But the pre-tournament schedule, it's been released. It's the Road to the World Juniors presented by Lord Co. And here is what's coming up in a couple of days on Thursday. At noon in Edmonton, Rogers Place, you got Finland, USA. It's the first pre-tournament game, 2 o'clock in Red Deer, Slovakia, Germany. I don't know why they wouldn't have done three games in Red Deer at the Centrium instead of doing three games and just having one start at 2. Maybe it's a TV thing. So you got Slovakia, Germany, 2 o'clock in Red Deer at the Centrium. Then you got Czechia, not Czech Republic anymore. They sent out the memo, and so they said, hey, we'd like to be known as Czechia instead of Czech Republic. I mean, it's a formal thing for them. You can still call them Czechs, but they want to be known as Czechia, not just Czech. They're going to play Switzerland 5 o'clock. That's at the Canada Game Center in Red Deer. Then you got Russia, Canada, 5 o'clock at Rogers Place in Edmonton. The late one, Austria, Sweden, 7 o'clock Centrium in Red Deer. Not exactly sure how TSN is going to go about broadcasting all of these. Would have to assume USA, Finland's on tap, Russia, Canada as well. Maybe get some of those backup ones on TSN.ca or the TSN app. Not sure there's been an official announcement on that one. I guess we'll let you know if we hear anything at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. To the NHL, everyone's pretty much shut down. I think there's 9 teams shut down. Everything. All we had last night was Minnesota, Dallas. Like, nothing is going on in the NHL. Shut it down till the new year. And say what you want about it. I understand teams do want to play. Yes, we're looking at you, Tampa and Vegas. But for this league, they have to figure out a plan. Until you get a plan, you got nothing. So the fact that they're like, well, maybe we'll delay it a couple of games. COVID's not going anywhere. It's not going to go away after Christmas. It's going to be a part of life that we have to deal with, and we have to deal with it the best way possible and figure out the best way possible. And I'm not saying, oh, just play through COVID. It's not that easy of a solution. Here's a quote from Luke Shen. It's not a quote, it's a thing. He confirmed he had the Omicron, whatever you want to call it, COVID-19. Symptoms only lasted a couple of days, were consistent with regular winter cold and flu. So at what point do they say the NFL is just going to play through them if they're asymptomatic? We're going to do that. I don't know. It's worth a conversation. Let me know. Join at any time at 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. We're on social media at World Hockey RPT. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of the above. Of course, if you miss any of the show, download the podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. We got two huge guests to get to. I guess I should probably introduce them. It's Craig Button. He's a TSN analyst and scout, former NHL GM as well with the Calgary Flames. And then Chris Peters, you know him, you love him. His World Junior coverage is second to none. NHL draft and prospect analyst now at Daily Faceoff. we'll catch up with those guys. Probably talk mostly Canada with Button, of course. That's, you know, his wheelhouse. And then with Chris, we'll dive into the Americans. The two teams you want to hear us talk about, we will get into that on World Hockey Report. Of course, we got to talk Spangler Cup, too, and it sucks. Canada's gone. I had this argument, conversation, whatever you want to call it. I got to think of my words right here. I don't want to, you know, piss anyone off. It's not one person's fault. But as a whole, I have a hard time understanding why Hockey Canada would send a team to the Channel 1 Cup and not the Spangler Cup. I know it's different players. You're getting mostly Russian players at the Channel 1 Cup. I know it's different times. Things change day by day with COVID. No one can predict the future. But I have a hard time believing that it isn't viable for them to gather Canadian players in Europe who don't have COVID, put them together in Davos, Switzerland for a week. It's not even a week. It's like a 5-6 day tournament. You can't safely do that. It's not like you need a week-long pre-tournament. You know, these guys are going to be fine going there and having fun. You don't have to put this team of ex-NHLers there with NHL coaches. Not that Canada is going to go there and get embarrassed, but you could have, you know, given that opportunity to players who, you know, maybe you take a guy out of the SHL or the Liga who normally wouldn't be on that roster. Maybe you take the top scorer out of the EIHL or the France League. Whatever it is, Hockey Canada could have provided this opportunity to, you know, players who would have thought the world of this, who would have never had this opportunity if not for COVID. Hockey Canada could have gone and provided them with an incredible, incredible experience, probably the experience of a lifetime for many of them. And instead, they just chose to shut it down. They said, you know what? It's dangerous. We don't want to send Claude Julien there. It's a tough pill to swallow. It really is. Again, let me know your thoughts. So anytime at World Hockey RPT, I'm on Twitter and Jan31. One of the other issues we do have to talk about, it's not a fun one, but this was 4 days ago. IIHF President Luke Tardif, he visited Kiev, Ukraine, did so secretly. They weren't happy about that. They did end up putting something out, you know, a day or a couple of days later, discussed the current issues. I mean, they really buried the lead here on the IIHF article. And pretty much in that, he said, hey, we don't want him competing for any Ukraine hockey event. You know, that's, we get, he's, you know, one of their better Ukrainian players, but we don't want him, you know, representing Ukraine. Well, what happens 2 days later? It's actually a day after the article drops. Andrei Deniskin's playing. He played against Poland. Oh, no, in Poland against Hungary, France, and Poland. December 16th to the 18th, he played 3 games. And if you don't, you know, if you don't remember, this is the racial incident. Andrei Deniskin, he, you know, imitated peeling a banana towards Jalen Schmerich. Probably one of the most disgusting acts I've ever seen on the ice. And IIHF isn't stopping him from playing in their events this year. I mean, that was a month ago, a month and change maybe. I don't know. It's disappointing. It's unfortunate. It's frankly, it's pathetic that guy is still playing hockey. Okay, moving along, though. We got to get to something a little bit brighter. The Spangler Cup is going to go on. You get 6 teams this year. You got Slovan Bratislava. You got Sparta Prague. Bratislava, obviously, out of Slovakia. Prague out of Czech Republic. Czechia. Do we go with Czechia now? I guess we'll go with Czechia now. You got Frölunda out of Sweden, Kalpa out of Finland, HC Davos, obviously the host. And then you got an interesting one out of Switzerland. It's the Bern Selects. So you got SC Bern, you got BLBN, and you've got the SCL Lognau Tigers. So it's the 3 teams out of that Bern region. Obviously, they're heated rivals with Davos, but they're going to combine and put a Selects team in this tournament.
I don't know if that makes him the favorite or not, honestly. I haven't looked at these rosters that much. I'm just giving you the information on teams. It'll be a fun tournament. I don't care what you know, if you're like, oh, it's Spengler Cup, whatever. It's weird. It's quirky. It's hockey. It's one of the best hockey traditions out there, and I'm going to choose to enjoy it. I really don't give a damn what other people think. I think the Spengler Cup's awesome. So that's what I'm going to be going with. Alrighty, let's head off to... Should I get my player predictions now? No, we should talk with the experts. Let's head off to a commercial break here. And maybe at the end of the show, maybe in between, we'll give my picks. I got a bunch of forwards, defense, goalies to watch. I got games to watch. I got players to watch. It's a world season, world junior season. We're buzzing. Spengler Cup's coming up. Everything is good again. We got Craig Button after the break, then Chris Peters as well. Cody Jansen with you, World Hockey Report. We are presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. And don't forget, Road to the World Juniors starts with Lord Co. on Thursday.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot goes past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. The NHL got rid of ties in 2005, so you know someone's going to light the lamp. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sports. Book for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you. We are presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Joined now by TSN analyst and scout, also a former NHL GM, it's Craig Button, our world junior expert, joins us. And one of the guys I really have to ask you about is Kent Johnson, because he's in quarantine. He comes out of camp. I've seen some of the clips from practice. He's skilled like none other. But has he impressed you in his development with Michigan so far this year?
Yeah, ever since I first saw how Kent play in BC, and, you know, he's a top player in the BCHL and obviously now going to Michigan. And you say skill like no other. I would suggest that maybe he has skill like Trevor Zegras, and he has creativity like Trevor Zegras, and he has confidence like Trevor Zegras. And like Trevor Zegras last year for Team USA at the World Junior Tournament, I think that Kent Johnson can have a similar impact for Team Canada. Does it end up being MVP? Perhaps. He's got that type of ability. He's got that type of drive. And certainly, if he's in that conversation, then that means Canada is competing for the gold medal. But like Trevor Zegras, it's not just the skill. It's also the confidence that goes with it. It says, hey, there's things that I'm really good at. There's things I'm willing to try. And certainly Kent has that type of creativity, imagination, and confidence in his approach to playing the game.
That's funny, because literally 5 minutes ago, our World Hockey Report social media guy, Adam, made the exact same comparison to Trevor Zegras. One of the other guys, he's a Western League kid. It's Connor Bedard. Are our expectations a little bit too high for him? Obviously, it's tough being in the tournament as a 16-year-old, but should we not be expecting him to play as a top nine role this year, or do you think he's going to surprise a few people, Craig?
Well, here's what I would say to you. Okay, so ever since Connor Bedard emerged in the lower mainland in BC, you know, he's had high expectations on him. And I am sure that the expectations that Connor has of himself far exceed any of the high expectations anybody else has on him. Second to that is, so you're the first Western Hockey League player to get exceptional status. So now what you do is you go into the Western Hockey League last year in Regina, in the bubble, and you dominate it. And then you come from there and you go to the World Under 18 Championships, where you are 2 years younger than just about every single player in that tournament. And all he did was be one of the very best players in the tournament. So if you want to lower your expectations, go ahead. I know Connor's not lowering his expectations, and he's giving no indication that lower expectations should be something that that we should have. He sets the bar high. The expectations are high. The spotlight is bright. And all he does is get above those expectations, get over a higher bar, and he shines brightly under that bright spotlight.
Now, you've seen Shane Wright here over the past week and so with Canada at camp. What have you liked in his game? What's something where maybe you've seen that him develop over the past year?
Well, I think there's two things with Shane. His game is complete. It's precise. It's intelligent. You look at every area of the game and you say, okay, what's important in a game? And you can put a check mark beside every single one of those areas when you're describing Shane Wright. So the two things that I've seen in Shane is, you know, a lot of younger players, they think they got to get heavier. They think they got to get to, they talk about it. Shane talked about this at the summer camp with Canada. Yeah, I put on this much weight. It's not about putting it's about quickness. Let your body continue to carry forth. I think he pushed himself to a point where, you know, it affected his quickness. So I think he learned a valuable lesson there. It didn't cause something that was significantly negative, but I think he noticed it. I think he did. And now he balances that. The second thing I think that Shane has really learned, and he's got maturity that is far beyond his age, is that he's got such a precision in his game. His understanding of the game in every area it is so strong, and he wants to be precise in those areas. Sometimes who you're playing with, the situation that you're in, calls for something that just can't be precise. I think that Shane has become way more accepting of, even though his attempts to try to make that precise play, to make the play that will translate to the next level with better players, that will be completed at this stage. And I'm not talking about the World Junior Camp. I'm talking about more in the OHL with the Kingston Frontenacs. That he's been more patient with himself and understanding. I know that that's the right play, but it might not be the right play right now because it just can't be completed at the level. And I think that that's another sign of his maturing, ongoing maturing, and players are going to mature all the way through. And I think those are the two things that I would say with Shane have really stood out to me.
Craig Button, my guest here on World Hockey Report. I want you to finish this sentence for me. Owen Power is the best Canadian defenseman we've seen since
Bowen Byram last year. Jamie Drysdale last
okay,
year.
Okay, so you do think pretty highly of those guys. I've had this conversation before, and I think a lot see Power's ceiling a little bit higher. But, I mean, from what you've seen then, I guess, is the expectation set that he should be the best defenseman at this tournament?
Well, I mean, Jamie Drysdale was a sixth overall pick, and Bowen Byram was the fourth overall pick. Bowen Byram dominated the tournament last year. If Owen Power can get into that conversation of dominating the tournament like Bowen Byram did, that'll be pretty impressive because this is a best-on-best tournament. And I think Owen Power is a fantastic player. But I think the same thing about Bowen Byram and Jamie Drysdale. So when you asked me to finish the sentence, I said the best since those two guys last year. That's how good they were. Jake Sanderson, you know, who's on the U.S. side, elite defenseman. And you know, you look at Owen Power, there's no question he's an elite defenseman. But, you know, those other guys are top drawer defensemen. So I don't think there's any question that Owen Power is going to play a significant role for Canada in this tournament. I don't think there's any question that he's going to be in the conversation as not only just one of the best defensemen in the tournament, but as also one of the best players in the tournament. But Bolt Byram last year, and Jake Sanderson and Jamie Drysdale as defensemen were outstanding last year in this tournament.
Interesting. I think Anaheim, Colorado, and Ottawa fans are going to love to hear that answer, Craig. Now, moving between the pipes here, is Sebastian Cosa the guy, or are you seeing, you know, Grand or Brochu push him at camp, or do you think Cosa is that number one guy for Canada going into the tournament?
How about if I ask you a question?
Do it.
Was Devin Levi the guy last year?
Nope.
Okay. So, Jason LaBarbera coached the goaltenders last year, and Olivier Michaud is coaching the goaltenders this year. Their task is exactly the same. Get all three goaltenders prepared to meet the demands of the tournament. Then, you know, and Dave Cameron and the coaching staff will tell you this, is that Olivier Michaud is going to have a significant impact on who starts game one, who starts game two, and then most importantly, as you get into the quarterfinal and the semifinal and a gold medal game potentially, you know, that influence, that input from Olivier is going to be significant. There's a lot of runway ahead here. The tournament doesn't begin on December 26th with determining who your goaltender is going to be, you know, come semifinal time. And all you got to do is look back to 2015. Zach Fucale and Eric Comrie split it all the way up. And then when they got to the quarterfinal, like they said, semifinal, Zach is the guy, and they went and he finished it off. That's where they need to get to. And I would say that all three of those goaltenders satisfy the Team Canada management and the Team Canada coaching to be the guy that can take the reins. And like Devin Levi last year, I wouldn't rule out any of them to be the guy. I mean, even when Devin started, it was like, okay, he got the first game, who'll get the second game? Devin Levi got the second game. Okay, will we see some? He got the third game and the fourth game and the fifth game and the sixth game and the seventh game. So it's not about saying you have to alternate. It's about evaluating it over time. So I don't think anybody has any inside track on the number one slot on December 26th or once you get into the elimination round.
Okay, well, I only got another question. I want you to pick one of the three here. Who are you taking? If you got to start one guy on December 26th, doesn't matter what country, I just want you to pick one goalie here. Sebastian Cosa, Yaroslav Askarov, or Jesper Wallstedt? Which one of the three are you taking?
To start?
Yeah, just one game. Just one game at this tournament. Who's your top or who's your go-to guy out of those three?
Jesper Wallstedt.
Okay. So you think he was maybe someone who dropped in the draft?
No, he got drafted exactly where he should have been drafted. Okay. You know, one of the things I always say about the draft, and I tell this to kids, I've been telling this to kids for years, where he got drafted that day is exactly where he should have got drafted, because nobody was prepared to draft you before the slot you got drafted, and you couldn't be drafted after the slot you got drafted. When we go and evaluate, you know, years down the road, we can say, oh boy, he got lucky. But that day, he got drafted exactly where he should have been drafted.
There you go. Okay, I got one last one for you, too. Who's the second and third best teams here? Assuming, and this is my prediction, Canada's number one. Who are the two other teams that you think are going to be the biggest competition for them?
USA and Russia.
Now, with the Americans, do you think they got the firepower up front? Like, their defense looks awesome. They're actually sneaky good on the back end, and I like Kemeso and Net. And then Russia, just they've got some of that skill and some veteran presence on the back end as well.
Well, I guess what I would say to you is you start to look at the USA roster, and you start to say, okay, firepower. What type of firepower are we talking about?
Zegras and Caulfield.
Okay, well, Matty Beniers is a pretty top player. Matthew Coronado is a pretty top player. I mean, I'm just naming a handful of guys right now, right? I would be very careful about not thinking that they can't produce offense. Mackie Samuskevich, Sasha Pastryjov, he's been having a fantastic season in Guelph. Chaz Lucius, I mean, he's highly skilled. Carter Mazur with Denver. I mean, I'm telling you, Tanner Dickinson and Sault Ste. Marie, I'll tell you what, be careful about underestimating the firepower up front.
Do you think that USA and Russia just have a little bit more depth than Sweden? I think Sweden's got some skill in this tournament, but I haven't seen too many people pick them to win a medal here.
I think Sweden, with their goaltender and some really, really good defensemen, have ability. I think they're a donut team. They have very little in the middle of the ice. You know, Theodor Niederbach will be a really good, important centerman for them. You know, like Eklund, could they put Eklund in the middle? They could. But, I mean, he's been a left winger. And after Theodor Niederbach, I think they really fall off in the center ice position. And if you don't have center ice, who's gonna distribute the puck over to the wing? I think for the Swedes to have success, it'll come down to three things. It'll come down to Jesper Wallstedt. I already told you I'd take him as my goalie if I had to pick between those three. Number two, I think it'll come down to a real staunch and real strong defensive effort. And I think their power play is the one that's going to have to get them on the right side of the scoring ledger. Because I think they're going to be challenged to produce a lot of offense with the lack of centermen. They have the lack of really good centermen. There's no question with Alexander Holtz and Davian Lassell and William Eklund and Oscar Olsson and Isaac Rosen that they got ability on the wings. Their center ice is not very good.
Craig, we appreciate the insight as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no, my pleasure to join you.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages include a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NHL has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot goes past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. The NHL got rid of ties in 2005, so you know someone's going to light the lamp. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sports. Book for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Go Auto Parts. Cody Jansen, joined now by Chris Peters, NHL draft and prospect analyst with Daily Faceoff and Hockey Sense as well. We're going to talk Americans. And of course, we'd be reminiscent if we didn't mention the guys between the pipes first off. And Drew Komessel seems to be that guy. Where do you rank him on an elite scale here, Chris? Is he up there with the Kosas, the Wallstedts? I know he's a second-round pick. You know, do you think he's able to maybe play up to those elite goaltender levels at this tournament?
Well, you know, I guess if you're looking at it on paper, you would probably say no, you know, just because he's going head-to-head with, you know, multiple first-round draft picks. Canada, Sweden, and Russia all have first-round goalies there. Kemesso is a second-rounder, and, you know, we see plenty of solid second-round goalies after Demko and others like that, you know, that have popped in the NHL. But, you know, I think for Drew, certainly the U.S. has a lot of faith in him. He's been on a really poor Boston University team this year. They've really struggled to give him any goal support. And not really defending very well in front of him. So he's going to have the benefit of having, you know, a better team in front of him at this tournament. And, you know, based on what I saw during, you know, over the years of watching Drew Komessel, I think he's very much a high-end goalie. I think he belongs in the discussion, you know, with the other number one guys in this group. Is he, you know, he may be a tier below those guys, you know, just kind of based on his prospects and his upside and all that other thing, all those other things. but he's definitely a quality goaltender, very technically sound, very confident. When he's confident, he's very difficult to beat. So I think that if he can do that, if he can have that good defense in front of him, he's going to have a lot of success in this tournament and maybe turn some heads and outshine some of the guys that have higher draft pedigree.
So you kind of mentioned the back end, and they do have three returnees, I believe. You got Clever, Sanderson, and Faber, I think. I think all three of those are returnees. Yep. But not that many people are actually talking about this D-Core as elite, Chris. Are they a little bit going to be sneaky good here? Like, they got Hughes on the back end as well. I think there's some great pieces, even compared to other teams. Maybe the Americans are a little bit better defensively.
Yeah, I think on paper this is the best D-Core in the tournament. You know, I think when you look at what Jake Sanderson is going to bring to the table, I mean, he has been one of the best players in college hockey this season. He could be in the NHL right now. I mean, you ask anybody that's involved with North Dakota, USA Hockey, or the Ottawa Senators, and they'll all tell you that he could be in the league right now. And I'm sure that he would be. He decided to go back to school to get that little extra bit of readiness, and I think that's been – it's proven that going back for a second season, if you're a top-end blue liner, is a good call. You look at what Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes and Adam Fox and John Marino and all those guys did, and they were able to transition to the NHL pretty immediately. So that's a guy to watch for sure. But, you know, you also mentioned Luke Hughes. So you got two top-five draft picks on this blue line. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at for sure. Hughes is going to be bringing a little bit more of that dynamic offensive element. He's going to play probably top 4 minutes for this team. Brock Faber is not a guy that I think a lot of people know outside of the LA Kings organization, but he's one of the elite defenders on this team. Excellent footwork, good puck moving ability, very smart. He's going to play a lot. Wyatt Kaiser, who plays at the University of Minnesota Duluth, is another guy that was, I think he was a third-round draft pick of Chicago a couple of years ago. He was drafted right out of high school, and he transitioned to the college game very quickly. And last year, he played in a 5-overtime game against Sanderson in North Dakota, and Kaiser was on the ice for 60 minutes, over 60 minutes of that 5-overtime game, and really looked no different at the end of the game than he did at the beginning. So we're talking about a very significantly talented blue line that has guys that might not have been drafted as high, but certainly have the talent to be major difference makers. And as I look, if I'm looking 1 through 8 on this blue line, I think I would probably rank Team USA's number one in terms of depth and quality of the top end. And certainly Canada's is in that mix as well. I don't mean to slight them, because when you have Owen Power and certainly Caden Gooley, that makes a huge difference. But I think this USA blue line is going to gain some respect in this tournament.
Now, up front, Matty Beniers is obviously the go-to guy, but you know, you got Berard, you got Cooley, there's some other pieces. Are you a little worried about the offense not being able to score? Not to say that there's huge red flags, but you're obviously, you know, you've seen the teams that do win gold and silver at the tournament, and they always have elite skill power up front, like Zegras, Caulfield, those guys.
Yeah, it's certainly not necessarily a strength for the team. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the forward group is a weakness. I think that they have quite a bit of talent up there, and as you mentioned, Matty Beniers being one of those guys. And it's just about going to be a matter of who's going to step up. They have guys like Chad Lucius and Sasha Pastajov, and those are guys that have scored at other levels and need to prove that they can do it here. Logan Cooley is an underager who is probably going to be the number two center. And they would have had Thomas Bortolo, but he caught COVID and unfortunately wasn't going to be recovered in the timeline necessary to be made available for the tournament. And so they lose their number two center right before the tournament. That's Cooley to step in there, but he's got elite speed, really good skill. There's a lot to like there. But when you look at last year's team, you look at Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield, Arthur Kalia, Matt Boldy. I mean, these are guys that you could just toss them over the boards and expect something to happen. I don't think the U.S. has anybody quite like that, even though I think Matty Beniers is a really good number one center. I think Cooley is going to make an impact. You know, other guys you mentioned, Brett Berard, certainly going to be a solid two-way guy. Matt Coronado scored 48 goals in the USHL last year. I mean, so there's a lot of players on this roster that I think there are going to be very high expectations for. The question that I have is, you know, will it all click at the same time? And will it click at the right time and in the right way? That's what you need in these tournaments, and it's really tough to predict that. But when you don't have a Trevor Zegras or a Matt Boldy, who, you know, really could just hop over the boards and give you something. That is certainly a concern heading into the tournament. It's something they're trying to address and figuring out who are going to be the best players to kind of give them what they need in key moments. And we're going to have to wait and see who that's going to be, because we won't know until the games are live.
Okay, Chris, let's be real. With Chaz Lucius and Red Savage, does the Americans have the best name team ever? Like, these are hilarious. I compare this up to, like, Easton Stick, the football guy. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid team. Very well-named team, absolutely. And, you know, you got Carter Mazur, too. I think Mazur just sounds cool. Like, you know, a Mazur laser or something like that. So, you know, there's plenty of solid names on there. And certainly, I think Chad Lucas, wherever he goes, and his younger brother, who could be in the mix for the World Juniors in a couple of years, his name is Cruz. And I think they also have another brother named Cash. I'm not positive on that. I'm pretty sure.
That's unreal.
You know, so we've got definitely good names in the mix for sure. And Red Savage, whose full name is Redmond. Pretty solid. And he's a guy that, you know, the role that he's going to play for this U.S. team, he's going to earn his name, that's for sure.
You got to give those parents some awards, at least to the Lucius family. Hey, is Canada the outright favorite in your mind as well? I've heard some varying opinions, but I think the vast majority does see Canada as the gold medal favorites here.
Yeah, you know, I think they are the betting favorite, and I think that's very reasonable. You look at the, you know, the forward group that they have, and the guys that they don't have a ton of returning players, but they do have Cole Perfetti, and then, you know, he's not returning, but he played in the World Championship, Owen Power. And then, you know, I think really, whether it's Sebastian Coser or Dylan Grand in net, I think that they have a really good opportunity to be, you know, have some of the best goaltending in this tournament as well. So that's always been such a, you know, question mark going into the tournament. Canada really had outstanding goaltending from Devin Levi last year, and nobody really knew who he was. Now we know who he's there. There's an expectation they're going to be solid. So, you know, I think that's fair. But in terms of teams that I think that threaten them, certainly the U.S. is always going to be a possibility. And I think that the one thing that Canada has to be kind of cognizant of in this tournament is that they're playing in the weaker of the two brackets. I mean, they're going to have games against Germany and Austria, which are, you know, not really tests of any kind. Finland will be a pretty good test. There will be, you know, opportunities for them to kind of play in tougher games, maybe against the Czech Republic, but it's really not that challenging. So you wonder, you know, the teams on the other side, are they going to be a little bit more battle tested? The team that would probably give me a little bit of caution on saying the Canada's the outright favorite is actually Russia. I think, you know, having Matvey Mitchko, who's an underager, I mean, that kid just scores with his eyes closed. He figures he's going to hop over the boards and score a goal every time, and he's usually right. And so, you know, that's a scary proposition. You know, if Yaroslav Askarov is playing at the top of his game, he can be unbeatable. You know, so that's a team where I definitely would have some concerns running into them in the middle round, just because they do have such skill and a really solid decor and really good goaltending. So, I mean, you look all the way down that lineup. Do they have the best roster they possibly could have brought? I think they're leaving a couple of defensemen home that probably should be there. But at the same time, I think they have a team that's capable of winning the gold medal, and they haven't done that since 2011. So you know that they're hungry for it.
So you think Russia's a little bit more scary than Sweden this year, eh? Like, when I think of Sweden, I think if they got high-end skill, you know, your Eklund's great. You got Wallstedt between the pipes, Edmondson. Like, they've got some skill, but I don't see that as a deep roster at all.
That's the thing. They're very top-heavy. You know, you look at their top line, and it's Oscar Olofsson, William Eklund probably playing in the middle. And if he's a better winger than he is center, but he is playing in the middle. And you've got Alexander Holt. So you expect big things from that. But after that, you have to hope for a little bit more offense. They're really weak at the center position, which is why Eklund is going to have to play down the middle. You know, they have some guys that have skill and have had some success at the SHL and Swedish U20 levels. But, you know, when I look at Russia, I see a heavier, more physical, more defensively sound team. And also, I should have mentioned with Sweden, they also have a really great defensive pairing in Simon Edvinsson and Helgi Grans, who are likely going to play together and play a lot of minutes. But after that, there's just a significant drop-off in terms of the quality of skill and everything else. And, you know, there are several players that are undrafted on there, which doesn't really make a difference at this level. But at the same time, you know, the expectations change a little bit. So I would say that, you know, the Russians overall, I just like their depth, and I like their style of game better than I like Sweden's at this point. But certainly that top line, top deep pairing, and the goaltender Jesper Wallstedt are going to give Sweden an opportunity to make some noise here. So definitely don't count them out. I just think that the depth problem is going to be a concern for them going into the tournament.
Chris, we're going to finish with some rapid fire here. I'm not going to ask you who wins the tournament. I don't need your opinion there. I know no one wants to be put on the hot seat, but I want to know, who do you think is going to be the top goalie of the tournament?
Top goalie, I'm going to say Yaroslav Askarov in a bounce back performance after a poor tournament last year. I've watched him many times. I think he's going to be the guy.
Top defenseman?
Top defenseman, I'm going to say Jake Sanderson.
I think it.
I think people are going to learn a lot about him. Certainly, I think the competition between Sanderson and Owen Power and Simon Edmondson and even some other guys like Simon Nemitz and a bunch of others, it's going to be a very loaded year for D for sure.
Top forward,
I'll go with Cole Perfetti.
Okay, that's off the board. I haven't heard that name yet.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Cole Perfetti. I think that in this, with his experience and having been at the tournament last year, how he's played in the AHL this year, I think he's going to put up quite a few points this year.
I like it. Bing, bang, boom, we're done. Chris Peters, thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully everything goes smooth and you can get up here travel-wise if it all works out safely for you. But again, we appreciate you taking time for World Hockey Report.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pregame party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Hockey fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot goes past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. The NHL got rid of ties in 2005, so you know someone's going to light the lamp. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Book for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
It's Cody Jansen. World Hockey Report is presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com today. Coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. And of course, if you want to check out some more international hockey, the World Championships going on this spring in Helsinki, Sports Travel Tours, they are going to hook you up. Great people, and they got the best packages as well. Experience it all yourself. Go check them out at sportstraveltours.com. Helsinki is beautiful. Definitely recommend going and checking it out if you can, especially if you get the help from the great people over at Sports Travel Tours. Huge thanks to our guest, Craig Button, Chris Peters, two of the best to break it down. We're going to give you the best. That's what we do here at World Hockey Report. But I got a few things I want to dive into. Let's start with games to watch. So I got 4 days of round robin play where these are must watch games. And I know I'm missing some. I guess we'll break down the groups. You got Finland, Canada, you got Czech Republic, Germany, and Austria. Those are all in Group A. Group B, you got Sweden, Slovakia, Switzerland, Russia, and the USA. So obviously, Group B is a little bit better. There's no need to sugarcoat that. But there's still some awesome games that I think if you miss out on, I feel bad for you. Because they are going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. I'm trying to get the schedule loaded up in front of me here. Oh, maybe that's why. We'll work it out a little bit on the fly. Okay. Boxing thing. There's one real one. I mean, Canada starts up the tournament against Czechia, but let's go with Russia-Sweden. That's the big one. That's the two juggernauts in Group B. I think that's your highlighted game. Going to be an awesome tilt. December 27th. Here's an interesting one because I don't know how tough the Czechs are going to be. And Germany, certainly not a contender like they have been in previous years, but still an interesting one. You can probably stamp the upset label on it, you know, upset watch at least. December 29th, Sweden, USA. Mark that on your calendar. That is going to be a tilt and a half. Then on New Year's Eve, I love when they do it. I love when they bring the best games to New Year's Eve. I'm going to be busy. I might not watch every single one of them, but I'm telling you, it is going to be a blast. First off, you got Germany, Austria. That's the relegation match likely in Group A. Austria probably going to have to pick up a win if they want to avoid the relegation round. Germany, it's just going to be a good tilt in general. Then you got Canada, Finland at 5 o'clock. That's the two best teams in Group A. And to close it out, USA, Russia at 7:30. Two best teams in Group B. Yes, sir. Give me that all day long. Love the World Junior schedule. And it all comes to a close. Round robin, at least, on New Year's Eve. You got New Year's Day off. Semifinals or quarterfinals, pardon me, start on January 2nd. So I did go down. I after even hearing Chris and hearing Craig talk about some players, I jotted down some notes in the commercial break. I got forwards for you to watch here. We'll go through all three positions. I got three of them. This is my top three forwards to watch. I also got an honorable mention in there because why not? My honorable mention, Matty Berniers from the Americans. I know we talked about him. I think he's going to be a really good player, but he's also in a really tough group. So I don't know if he's going to shine that much in the round robin. And if he did, I'm way off. Or if he does, I'm way off. But he's my honorable mention right now. I got three others for you, though. Kent Johnson, of course, from Canada. This guy's just skill, creativity. He's Trevor Zegras 2.0. That's what Craig said. I trust him. Matvei Mishkov out of Russia. Young kid. Everyone just talks about his eagerness. That every time he's on the ice, this guy wants to score. You got to love that mentality. You got to give it to him. And the other guy, Brad Lambert, got some Saskatchewan ties. Got to love that. But again, he's got experience in the tournament. He's going to be coming in a year older. He's a draft eligible. Brad Lambert, heck of a talent. Definitely. If you're watching Finland, that's one guy who's going to stand out. And if they are to upset Canada on New Year's Eve, he's probably going to have a big game. I'm sorry. It's just how it's going to be. Let's take a look at defense now. Topi Niemelä, that's going to be my honorable mention. Again, another returnee, good D-man. He's probably going to have to eat up big minutes for Finland, but he's not top three material. Shakir Mukhamudulin, that's a fun name to say. Have fun, Gord. Yeah, he's my third defenseman to watch. Owen Power and Jake Sanderson. Round out. So I had Sanderson down in that 2-3 spot, but hearing the way that Craig talked about him, how do you not get sold on that guy? Sanderson, Owen Power. We get some fun defensemen to watch this year. I know it's not Byram. I know it's not Drysdale. I think that Power's ceiling's a lot higher. I think he's going to be a lot better. You know, when I say finish the sentence, Owen Power's the best defenseman at the tournament since, I think he's going to blow it. Bowen Byram and Jamie Drysdale did out of the water. I think it's a recency bias there. I do. I think Owen Power is that much better. Okay, let's round it out with goaltenders. We have to do, well, it's kind of like Czechoslovakia. You can say Slovakia, Sam Hlavish. He's a QMJHL goalie. He's got an over 900. He's played about 20 games this season. If they want to avoid relegation, obviously, one, they got to beat Switzerland, but two, he's going to have to show up. Maybe they got an upset watch in him. I don't know. Is it against Sweden? Is it against Russia? Got the Kenshin goaltender at a bad performance. Well, Hlavish is going to have to stand on his head anyways. And then from Czechia, it's Jan Bednar. Again, another guy playing over in North America. You got that? I think Bednar is actually the QMJHL one. Maybe I messed that up on Hlavish. If not, whatever. My top three, number three, Yaroslav Askarov. He's a returnee. He's a good goalie. He's got all the potential. I'm just not sold on him. Number two, Jesper Wallstedt. I don't think he's better than Sebastian Kosa. I don't. Time will tell. I guess we'll look back at this in January, and maybe I'll look like an ass, but I do not think he holds a candle to Sebastian Kosa, who should be the number one goalie in this tournament, should be the number one goalie for Team Canada, and has a very damn good chance at having a gold medal around his neck after this, if he plays to the potential that he can. Simple as that. Shout out Fort Mac, shout out Fort Sask, Sebastian Kosa. I really think he is going to be Canada's goalie at this tournament. I don't think he's going to roll through it. I got Russia winning bronze, Sweden ended up in fourth, and I got Canada over USA in the final. That's my prediction. Again, been wrong once or twice. It rarely happens, but it does. All right, we got to wrap it up here. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Of course, if you missed any of the conversation with Craig Button or Chris Peters, download the Hockey Podcast Network. Use promo code THPN on DraftKings. Don't forget to support the people who support us, Sports Travel Tours, Pro Doc, and Lordco Auto Parts. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_. About as always, everyone, be kind, be better.